WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? Happy, happy Friday. That's right, TGIF. It is September 4th, and you are now tuned into Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. And yeah, September 4th, that date sounds pretty familiar, right? We've been talking about it for weeks, folks. Tonight is the night that the Michigan State football team kicks off its year on the road in Kalamazoo, Michigan, against the Western Michigan Broncos. We will be chatting about that matchup and breaking it down later on in the show. You do not want to miss that. We, of course, will also recap what went down out in Utah as the Jim Harbaugh era out in Ann Arbor has officially begun. Michigan taking the L to the Utes. We'll break down that game. We'll also give you a recap of last night's Current Sports TV sit-down with Michigan State Football Director of College Advancement, Curtis Blackwell. Curtis will give us insight as well into tonight's matchup, Spartan matchup against the Broncos. We'll have Reflection Friday for you, and we'll break down, of course, the college football year. All of that, as well as take your calls all the way up until 2 p.m. If you want to call in and give your thoughts on what is going to go down tonight out in Kalamazoo, call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. But hey, let's start this party like we always do. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners for this September 4th. Jim Harbaugh has begun his coaching career with the Michigan Wolverines with a loss. The Maize and Blue fell to Utah on the road last night, 24-17. Senior quarterback Jake Rudock got the start for the Wolverines, going 27-43 for 279 yards, two touchdowns, and throwing three interceptions. Davion Smith led Michigan with 17 carries, but averaged just 2.8 yards per carry. We'll have more on that one in just a sec. Trayvon Boykin, he threw for 246 yards and a touchdown and ran for 92 yards and another score to help number two TCU outlast Minnesota. 23-17, the final of that one last night. The Gophers head TCU to just 5.9 yards per pass and 4.6 yards per carry. It took a while for QB Mitch Leitner to find consistency. He completed just 19 of 35 passes for 197 yards and a touchdown, and the running game added another 144 yards, which was well below its 2014 average of 215. Also want to note that the Central Michigan University Chips, they ended up falling to Oklahoma State last night as well. The Michigan State Spartans, they take on the Western Michigan Broncos tonight. Kickoff is set for 7 p.m. out in Kazoo, a part of the Celebrate the State series. This first trip to Kalamazoo for the Spartans is perhaps the most anticipated sporting event in WMU history. The Broncos aren't expected to be an easy cakewalk for MSU. WMU boasts the MAC Offensive Player of the Year and running back Javion Franklin. Keep it locked to WKAR.org after tonight's matchup, as we will be bringing you post-game coverage of the action. A few football scores to note as of last night. Grand Ledge topped Holland West Ottawa 38-7. Mason topped Eden Rapids 21-6. DeWitt over Kingsford 38-7. Fowler over Langsburg 28-0. Grand Rapids Catholic Central 42. St. John's 28. Hazlitt over Flushing 13-12. Waverly over Eastern 34-0. Granville over Sexton 35-28. East Kentwood over EL 28-21. Rockford over Holt 47-0. Lansing Catholic over Detroit Community 53-6. Portland over Hillsdale 37-14. Ionia over Owosso 49-18. Williamson over Holly 7-6. Jackson Lumen Christie 38. Charlotte 14. Linden over Fowlerville 57-14. Pouama Westphalia 62. Saranac 6. Lakewood over Belding 35-0. Perry over Whitmore Lake 33-6. Parchment over Maple Valley 38-6. Dansville over Powderville 45-6. Stockbridge over Sand Creek 53-48. Fulton over Bath 32-18. Ovid Elsie over Saginaw Swan Valley, 27-0. Thorne Apple Kellogg, 28, over Olivet, 0. Morris over Peck, 44-0. Portland St. Patrick over St. Joseph Michigan Lutheran, 53-10. Alma over Shepherd, 31-6. Weberville, 34. Tenosha, 32. That one went to overtime. And Owakama over Ashley, 55-6. Oh, all right, the Detroit Lions, they closed the exhibition season with a 17-10 victory over the Buffalo Bills at Ford Field on Thursday. The Lions held 20 of their 22 projected starters out of Thursday's lineup, including Matthew Stafford, Calvin Johnson, and Golden Tate. And after the game, they turned their attention to next Sunday's showdown with the San Diego Chargers and all of it lies ahead, I should say. So, the NFL regular season is about to be upon us in just a sec. All right, and after scoring 12 runs in the previous night, the Royals, the Kansas City Royals, they came back to batter the Detroit Tigers pitching staff again on Thursday night in a marathon 15-7 win at Kauffman Stadium. Tigers shortstop Jose Iglesias left the game in the third inning with a right middle finger contusion after fouling off a pitch on a bunt attempt. He'll be evaluated today in Detroit. And Manny Pacquiao's promoter, Bob Arum, says the boxer will retire in 2016 to become a senator in the Philippines. Well, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and give your thoughts on any of those or anything that happens to be on your sports noggin, I certainly want to get your thoughts and predictions on tonight's Michigan State and Western Michigan college football matchup. Call in right now, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You can also leave a comment on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports or even tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. Without further ado, it's about that time to start the show. To the show. It is Friday here on WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, and if you can't tell already, I'm pretty excited. I am actually through the moon right now. Folks, college football has officially begun. Of course, what you just heard was the Michigan and Utah game. That was my favorite color commentator, or I should say play-by-play guy. He's not a color commentator. Play-by-play guy. The always energetic and enthusiastic. I always say, I mean, this man could really make a game of chess seem like the Super Bowl, that being the one, the only, Gus Johnson. He was on the call last night on Fox Sports 1 calling Jim Harbaugh's debut with the maize and blue as Utah comes up with the win over the Wolverines. Really no surprise there. U of M, they were underdogs in that matchup. And, a very interesting game and a few takeaways from that matchup that we're going to dive into. Of course, I want to get your thoughts. Again, we'll be taking your calls throughout this entire hour, folks, because, I want to get your thoughts on last night's game, of course, and get your overall analysis on what went down for the Maize and Blue. And what'd you think of Jim Harbaugh in his debut as the head coach of the Michigan football team? But also, I want to get your thoughts on tonight's matchup. Of course, the Michigan State Spartans, they will be taking on the Western Michigan Broncos, and it is going to be an atmosphere at Kauffman Stadium that is going to be unlike any other. It's absolutely going to be just crazy. Excuse me, Waldo Stadium out in Kalamazoo. It is going to be absolutely unbelievable. And, you know, I was doing some reading, and actually Kalamazoo Gazette reporter David Drew, he actually compared tonight's game between the Spartans and Broncos to Abraham Lincoln's visit to Kalamazoo back in 1856. That's how big people out in Kalamazoo think that this game is going to be tonight. That's how amped they are for this matchup. Michigan State, of course, being the number 5 team in the Associated Press poll, coming to Kalamazoo to take on the Western Michigan Broncos. It is going to be off the chain tonight. And of course, our fantastic engineer of WKR's Current Sports, Isaac Constance, and myself, we will be hitting the road around 4:30 p.m. and we'll be bringing you coverage of that matchup tonight after the dust settles. So again, you can go to WKAR.org and catch my report. I will be filing it a little after kickoff. Well, probably about, I want to say about, let's be realistic here, probably about 2 hours after kickoff because of the editing and so on and so forth. So you don't want to miss that. I'll also be putting together a package for Current Sports TV. So you don't want to miss any of our coverage tonight. It's going to be a doozy out in Kalamazoo. And also, speaking of Current Sports TV, later on in the hour, we are going to be giving you a recap of last night's Current Sports TV, because I'm sure, unless you are a very dedicated Current Sports TV viewer, I'm sure you will probably flip-flopping channels between WKAR-TV and Fox Sports 1, because at the same time that our show aired at 10:30, that's our new slot now, it's not 10 o'clock on Thursdays anymore, it's 10:30, as you tuned over to Current Sports TV at 10:30, of course, the Michigan and Utah game was going on at the same time. So we'll be playing the chat that I had with the director of college advancement for the Michigan State football team, Curtis Blackwell. He is a big component to the reason why Michigan State has really been on the up and up in the world of recruiting. So Curtis is going to give us a preview of tonight's matchup between the Broncos and Spartans. He'll also give you his thoughts on the wonderful world of recruiting and so much more. You don't want to miss that. Later on, we'll also have Reflection Friday and give you an overall look at the college football scene. But let's start, of course, with the Wolverines, the Maize and Blue, taking on the Utes. And this was an interesting game because, first off, the big storyline on the side of Michigan was who was going to be the quarterback. Was it going to be Shane Morris? Or was it going to be Jake Rudock? And, of course, the pendulum really swung in favor of Jake Rudock, seeing as though he had the most experience. He started, you know, 25 times coming into last night's game. Of course, he was a starting quarterback for Iowa. He is now a graduate student at U of M, making him eligible to play. Shane Morris, we saw a bit of him last year. Of course, that name may ring a bell for many of you guys out there because of the incident in which Brady Hoke decided to leave Shane Morris in the game after taking a big blow, in which he was found to have a concussion in that game. But, you know, they didn't go through the necessary precautions. They threw him right out there. And Shane Morris became a big name and a big topic of discussion concerning concussions in the world of football. But Shane Morris, hey, he's a quarterback as well, folks. So he's been competing for that job with Rudock throughout preseason training camp. And to no surprise, I mean, Isaac and I both felt the same when previewing this game yesterday, that Jake Rudock was going to be the starter. Now, Rudock finished 27-43 with 279 yards and two touchdowns. He threw three INTs, however. And he looked a bit rocky. He looked a bit rocky. But I'll tell you what, Michigan was right in that game. Actually, before Rudock threw that last interception to Justin Thomas, that's the call you just heard in our montage. Before Rudock threw that interception, I mean, Michigan State had an opportunity to possibly take the lead in that game if they went down and scored and kicked the extra point. So they were right in position to compete against a very impressive Utah team, a team that I think is going to be very, very good, a team that you know, has seemed to fly under the radar for the past 2 years now, and you know, not a lot of hype surrounded around the team, but Utah is very, very solid, a very senior-laden team with a great defense, a senior-laden defensive line that gave Davion Smith and that entire running back core for U of M a lot of trouble in the backfield. So, hey, Jake Rudock, he had a tall order to go against in his first game as a Wolverine. So, and looking at, for me, looking at those three interceptions, I mean, I can't totally fault Jake Rudock for every single one of those throws. I will say, out of all three of those interceptions, I would have to say, you know, just one of them was really Jake Rudock's fault. So, and I was really impressed how, you know, with this whole quarterback competition that we have been hearing through and through throughout preseason training camp, I was really surprised that Jake Rudock did play the entire game. Jim Harbaugh stuck to his guns after that first interception. I mean, I don't know if you guys saw when Jake Rudock came to the sidelines. I mean, Jim Harbaugh, he wrapped his hand around his shoulder and really gave him some encouragement. And it was like that throughout the entire game. I mean, you didn't see Jim Harbaugh really losing his mind throughout that game. You know, hey, Wolverines have started the season now. And I want to get your thoughts on what you saw last night. 24-17 loss to Utah. And I really like Davion Smith. I will say that. I like him out in the backfield. We had Mark Snyder, Michigan football beat writer for the Detroit Free Press. He was on our show to preview that matchup yesterday. And Mark talked about how guys like Ty Isaac and Davion Smith, I mean, those guys really, you know, all three of those running backs that we saw last night, I mean, all three of them really resemble one another because they are all, you know, pretty much power backs. And Davion Smith is a guy who has a lot of girth to him. He's not going to go down easily, you know, even though it's very tough. And again, looking at what he was going against, folks, I mean, we're talking about a team that's, you know, is one of the top defensive teams in the nation. And we are talking about a defensive line that is a top five defensive line in the nation. So naturally, Davion Smith was going to struggle last night. But overall, I thought it was a solid effort. Many people may be looking at that game from the outside, looking in, especially Spartan fans, and saying Michigan still has a long way to go. And I do think they do. I mean, there's certainly some wrinkles that need to be ironed out with this squad as the season rolls along. But at the same time, I thought that it was a pretty solid showing from U of M overall. Overall, that's just my take. What do you think? 517-355-9527. I want to invite right now our engineer, Isaac Constance. Isaac, how you doing?
Al, I'm doing well. I got to say, I'm going to steal a Kendrick Lamar line. You might like this, but I think you might be sugarcoating it a little bit. I think, you know, might die from diabetes if you. This was not a great showing for U of M. I didn't think so, at least. I thought the Utah team was better. But I've got to say, Rudock, he showed signs of the reason he was named starting quarterback. But overall, three interceptions. He overthrew just about every deep ball. And when that pick six occurred, that they were driving. They would have tied the game, most likely, had he not made that poor decision. So, no, I thought it was a bad showing. The running game wasn't working. The offensive line collapsed on several occasions. And the Michigan had some serious issues dealing with the option as well on offense or defensively. So, no, I think there was a lot to do. And I don't blame this on Harbaugh whatsoever. In fact, I think Harbaugh made a great call leaving Rudock in the game, because the last thing you want as a developing football team is a big question mark hanging over you after just one game into the season. But I did think it was a pretty bad showing. I don't think it bodes well for Michigan.
I don't think it was bad at all. I mean, we expected Utah to win this game. I actually called Michigan to win this game. I was speaking more from my heart, hoping that Harbaugh would get off to a good start. But I didn't really believe that Utah was going to lose to the Wolverines. I mean, Utah last year was a 26-10 game. Looking at what they were going against, Isaac, again, don't underestimate Utah. This is a very, very good team that competes. They have one of the best defenses in the nation. So when you throw in a quarterback who has never started for the Wolverines and you throw him in that fire and going against one of the best defensive lines in the nation, what do you expect? You thought Rudock was going to go out there and be pristine?
He's never started for the Wolverines, exactly. But he's got 2 years of starting experience.
And he was kind of iffy with Iowa, if you go back and really look at his tenure with Iowa. So he wasn't an incredible quarterback with Iowa. So I didn't expect either one of those quarterbacks, Rudock or Morris, to come out and compete against one of the best defenses and come with this outstanding showing. So I wasn't surprised that Rudock struggled, to be honest. And looking at the interception that we just played, for the call from Gus Johnson, that was just a great break by Justin Thomas. The first interception that Rudock threw, it was miscommunication between himself and his receiver. He was expecting his receiver to run an outside post route to the sidelines. He didn't break. He throws it, expecting his receiver to break. Interception. I mean, what do you expect with those interceptions? I thought out of all three only one of them was truly all of Rudock's doing.
How was the last one not his fault?
It was a great break by Justin Thomas.
I just thought it was.
If the receiver comes in and competes for that football, it could have easily been a completion. So you got to give more credit to Justin Thomas. It wasn't more so just a bad throw by Rudock. That was just a great break by a great defensive player. So you can't put that on entirely on his shoulders there.
No, I thought it was a great break by Thomas.
Tremendous break.
You've got to see the nickel back there, too, and you can't make that risk. That wouldn't have...
From Rudock's perspective, if your receiver does compete and breaks hard out of that cut, hey, we may be talking about a completion there instead of an interception. So
I think at best that's an incomplete pass. That was a bad throw right there.
It definitely could have been put in more of a better of a position. But if his receiver competes for that, Isaac, I mean, again, it could have been an incomplete pass or a reception. So I'm not putting that totally on Rudock's shoulders. But look at the big picture here. Looking at Utah's offense also, I mean, they are good on both sides of the football. Utah is going to have a great season. I thought that Devontae Booker had a great game last night, 22 carries, 69 yards. Also, Travis Wilson, he was 24 of 33 for 208 yards, an average of 6.3 yards on that through one interception. I don't think you're giving enough credit to how good Utah is. We expected Michigan to lose this game, but there are certainly some positives to build upon for this team moving forward.
There are some positives, but that's what I'm saying. I think Harbaugh did as good of a job as you could have asked of him. I'm not saying that this was a bad performance for U of M considering their talent.
Well, you said it was a bad showing. You thought it was a poor showing by Michigan last night.
Yes, for Michigan standards or for any team standards, yes, because it's a bad team. That's my opinion. It's a bad team. It's not that good. I think Harbaugh did as much as he could. I thought Michigan played fairly well for how talented they are, but this is a bad team. I can't see them doing much better than 7-5 this year.
Isaac, I think it depends on your expectations for this squad. I said it. I don't think Michigan is going to be back in Jim Harbaugh's first year coaching this team. My expectations are for this team, just like Mark Snyder said yesterday, 6, maybe 7 wins. That's it. I mean, nobody's expecting Michigan to go out here and compete for the college football playoff, let alone a conference championship. So looking at your expectations, Isaac, I mean, what did you expect to happen last night?
No, I expected something like this. In fact, I called something close to this exact scoreline.
So if you expected
it
to happen.
I thought this was about all they could do in this last game, and they still couldn't win against a Utah team that's good, but they're not great. It's a game that many expected them to win.
You're preaching to the choir here. So how was it a bad showing for U of M?
Because it shows that this season they've got nothing to really go for. That's what I'm saying.
I'm saying
before the season, I said they go 7-5. I'm sticking to that. But the reason is, everybody's so optimistic about Harbaugh. I thought Harbaugh did a great job coaching this last game. He kept his emotions intact. I thought it was great move to keep Rudock in the game because in the second half, he dramatically improved.
And they had a chance to win the game at the end.
Exactly. But I think that's all you've got for U of M. Couldn't have done too much better. And that's why I think it's disappointing. I think they played pretty well. I think Harbaugh showed why he's such a great coach. And I just don't think there's that much to build on. I don't see the positive.
So you're confusing me, Isaac. Okay,
no,
so
I don't see the positives like you see the positives. That's what I'm saying.
Great last night's performance. Because if I'm looking at that game last night, I'm giving them a B+.
A B+ for a team? Yeah, maybe B+, A-, something like that. But I'm just saying.
Okay, so you were negating what you said earlier.
I'm saying there's not much improvement to be made off that. That's what you're saying. You're saying there's a lot of positives to take from this.
I like Davion Smith. I think he's going to be a great. If you put Davion Smith against an average defensive line or an average defense, which is what he'll see multiple times throughout the season, Davion Smith's numbers are going to be better. Jabril Peppers, we haven't even talked about Jabril Peppers. Jabril Peppers was the star for U of M last night.
He looked excellent.
It was unbelievable.
That's a positive.
Jabril
That's
Peppers
a positive.
Looks like a man out there. He's going to be a fantastic defensive player for this team. He is also going to be, I think, a very threat when it comes to special teams. We saw him return a few kicks last night. He is fantastic. So you can build upon that. I think Jake Rudock will get better as the year goes on. and looking at the receiving core for this team, I like Jake Butt. How about his amazing catch? And Rudock put that right on the button where only he could grab it. He grabbed it over two defenders. I mean, that was unbelievable. I like Amara Darbo. I think he's going to be a great receiver. Grant Perry, we saw him work a little bit. So there are pieces on this squad for Michigan that Jim Harbaugh can certainly build upon, and he's known for developing players. I'm excited to see, I mean, if he can exceed expectations this year.
But Darbo, but those guys played their butts off, to use Butt's last name.
Yeah.
But because that's, you're not going to see more than 100 yards and a touchdown for Darbo or more than 90 yards and a touchdown for Butt. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying Michigan played extremely well for the talent they have, but there's nowhere to go. This is why I've been saying all along, Harbaugh's an excellent coach. He's not on the field. He exhausted his eligibility some 30 years ago. I'm just saying, this team can't beat teams like Minnesota. They're not going to beat those
Minnesota
teams.
Minnesota almost beat TCU last night, for goodness
sake. But Minnesota, that's a game where
that's
you would have looked going into the U of M season saying, maybe they've got a shot. No, they don't. No, they don't. Michigan, at best, 7-5.
I agree with you. All I'm saying is there are pieces on this team that you can build upon. It wasn't a bad showing last night for U of M. They got a lot of things they can build upon. So I guess it depends on where your expectations are when looking at that game. Nobody expected Michigan to win that game. Let's be honest here.
Come on.
I called it. Yes, I said that Michigan was going to win last night. That was speaking more so from my heart. Did I really believe that Jim Harbaugh was going to win? That's one of those things. If they win, I look like a genius. If they lose, I look like an idiot. So at the end of the day, I really didn't think that Michigan was going to win that game. Let's be honest here. Come on, Isaac. You think I'm that stupid?
I think you might have thought they were going to win. I think you're covering your butt a little bit.
No. Come on, dude. Let's get out of here with that. No. If anyone who really knows me knows that I did not think that Michigan was going to win that game last night. I even talked to Eric Doc Love about that, who I was doing play-by-play last night about. So overall, though, great show for Jim Harbaugh. I don't think it's as bad as Michigan State fans are making it. So, all right, we'll see how the season moves along. Really briefly here, again, just to set, we're going to play you Current Sports TV, our sit-down last night, well, my sit-down last night with Curtis Blackwell, who is the Michigan State Football Director of College Development. It was a great chat with him. But really briefly, Isaac, you and I were both at last night's Mason versus Eaton Rapids high school football game, as Mason now moves to 2-0 on the year. Eaton Rapids falls to 1-1. Mike Smith, who we had earlier on this week on the show, Mike Smith has done one unbelievable job with this team. Coach Jerry Van Havel for Mason. Man, I tell you what, his son, Jarrett Van Havel, he's a great quarterback. It was a little bit rocky at first because Eaton Rapids got on the board first. But then you saw that offense of Mason really sort of get into a groove. It was a great mix of both doing it on the ground and also doing it on the air. Guys like, Hunter Holbrook, Nick Vondra, he was targeted multiple times from Van Havel. He had a great game. I really think that Mason is going to be a very impressive team as the year goes on and can really make some noise in the playoffs.
Yeah, oh, I totally agree. On this one, I totally agree. Jarrett Van Havel looked excellent, and in the game, if you remember, he took a hard hit late when he was out of bounds and went flying over the bench and hit his knee on it, actually. Left the game injured for a couple of plays, but he came right back, threw for a couple more touchdowns. He's an excellent quarterback, definitely displayed his senior leadership that game. And the other thing that I'd look into this game is Eaton Rapids did appear to be a little bit one-dimensional in that game.
They have no passing game.
Running up the middle, running up the middle. Not even any wide receiver sweeps, not anything to switch it up, just running it up the middle, no passing game. And after that first drive, at maybe two drives, Mason really figured it out, and they just said, well, let's stuff the box and see what they can do. And Eaton Rapids couldn't respond.
Yeah, Eaton Rapids' offense is certainly one-dimensional. There's no surprise there. I mean, and Mike Smith knows that. I mean, he has a first-year quarterback with the team, actually, who played at Leslie last year. He transferred over to Eaton Rapids. He played basketball last year with Eaton Rapids. If you remember, that was a team that actually won districts. So Zach Kemp, he's a tall quarterback. I mean, he's 6'4". He's a junior. He's got time to develop. But any time that Zach went back in the pocket and tried to throw the ball, he was not very accurate, or as accurate as he could have been. So they decided to really attack things on the ground. We saw Lane McVicker, who had a great week last week, if you remember, in that win over Jackson Northwest. Actually, Lane McVicker, he rushed for 144 yards and one touchdown on 22 attempts. So Lane McVicker, he's a guy who really tears it up on the ground. We also saw great work from Tyler Oberlin Scott, who is also a running back for Eden Rapids. But other than that, I mean, any game through the air, Eden Rapids still has a ways to go on that. So, all right, folks, well, let's hit our first break of today's Current Sports. When we come back, again, we will be giving you a recap of last night's Current Sports TV sit-down with Curtis Blackwell, Director of College Advancement for the Michigan State football team. You don't want to miss that. And so much more coming right up here on WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. And hey, folks, I know you were probably flip-flopping on your television because Current Sports TV was actually on during the same time that Michigan was taking on Utah on the road. So if you, in case you missed it here, you know, I sat down with a man who really knows his stuff and is really, you know, one of the hallmarks and catalysts as to why Michigan State has been able to attract big-name talent from the world of high school football into their program and be among one of the top schools when it comes to recruits. That name being Curtis Blackwell, who was brought in initially as the title of recruiting coordinator for the Michigan State football team, and then that title was shifted to Director of College Advancement for MSU football. Anyhow, no matter what title you want to put on it, he does a great job with not only bringing in top talent from the world of high school football, but also mentoring those young men who come here to East Lansing to play for head coach Mark D'Antonio. So, of course, Michigan State, they open their season on the road tonight against the Western Michigan University Broncos. It's going to be a crazy game with a crazy atmosphere. The Broncos are certainly getting up for this one, seeing as though they have an opportunity to possibly knock off a top five team in the world of college football. And I had to start our conversation last night when talking with Curtis Blackwell about just how excited he is to start a new season.
Great for us, great for the state of Michigan, and we're looking forward to kicking off another big year. It's kind of like Christmas in the fall, because you get to see all of the new talent unravel right before your eyes, like opening up the box on Christmas Eve, you know, Christmas Day.
Yeah, certainly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, going back to the expectation I just talked about, I mean, a lot of people expect this team to play in the college football playoff. Mm-hmm. I mean, you hear a lot of national analysts across the board choosing MSU to possibly win the entire enchilada, win a national championship. How has the wheelhouse of MSU football been dealing with the expectations?
The program is really based upon the senior leadership that we have, and I think Coach D'Antonio and the rest of the staff, Coach Manning, have done a great job of developing young men, and so these young men have basically kept the expectations so sort of in-house, whereas everyone understands that we got to take it one week at a time and that the seniors have to have their best years in order for the team to be successful. And if you do that week to week, we'll be right where we need to be.
Now, Curtis, with that being said, I went to Media Day and, okay, and got a chance to talk to many different players like Darian Harris and, mm-hmm, and Connor Cook and mm-hmm, so on and so forth. And a lot of them, and it surprised me because I had to kind of do a double take and do a follow-up question. A lot of them said, and they came out, they were not shying away from national championship talk. I asked them straight up, I mean, do you guys think about or talk about a national championship when you're in the locker room? They say, yeah, we want to compete for that. Right. And not shying away from, they didn't give me the cliche player or coach speak. Right. Is that something that you can echo?
Right. I mean, the goal is to win a national championship, yes, without a doubt. And just like it was to win a Rose Bowl, win a Big Ten championship, we have done those things, and we're dreaming big. We're not dreaming small, we're dreaming big. And I think that's a reality because we have been, from a progression standpoint, right in line to make that next step. So right now, we just got to take it one week at a time and win a Big Ten championship, and then our goals will be right there in sight.
I guess that's what the motto talks about, right? Reach higher. That's mm-hmm, the next reach,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Now, of course, recently, the captains for this upcoming year were announced. Of course, we're talking about Darian Harris, linebacker Jack Allen, lineman Shalique Calhoun. We all know he is the leader of that MSU football defense.
Right.
Connor Cook came out this week and said that, yeah, he was a bit disappointed that he was not named as one of those captains for this team. Connor, though, playing the quarterback position and, you know, hey, if he finishes out this year with a pretty good season, I mean, he could go down as the most decorated quarterback in Michigan State football history.
Right.
For Connor, what's his mindset when looking at captainship? And is captainship a bit overrated? I want to ask you that.
Well, I think captainship is based upon each team. They have their own amount that they have. Some teams have six, some have five, some have four. We have three. And then we elect a various one each week from week to week. For this week, Jack Conklin would be the one for this week. But so I just think that, you know, with the three that the team selected, you know, those were the guys. But Connor is the unquestioned leader of the team, has been for the last 2 years. I mean, we would not have had the success that we've had if he was not a leader. You know, I just think that the team chose those three guys as leaders. And so I think it's really opened up an opportunity for Connor to still be a leader, but in a different way. And he's always going to be the leader on the field general. And then also we have him as a part of our leadership council, which is the Eagles. So I think that Connor is definitely a leader of the team. He just wasn't elected a captain.
Why?
I think the players felt that the guys that they selected, you know, were the guys that had leadership attributes that they wanted to, you know, be a captain, you know. And I think that's speaks a lot in terms of what the players wanted in terms of a captain.
Now, looking at Jack Allen, Darian Harris, and Shalique Calhoun, what makes those three the right guys for the job? Because we actually had Darian Harris, who used to be one of our production assistants here on Current Sports. And one thing I always told Darian, I mean, he just kind of exudes that natural confidence, you know, real even keel, but he's a killer when he gets out there on the field. He has naturally has those leadership qualities. I mean, Shalique Calhoun, we all know how big his personality is, and so is, you know, can be, you know, be said the same for Jack Allen. What makes those three such great leaders?
I think the fact that they have been starters for a long time, you know, they've been playing, and so they have a lot of experience. And the fact that they have all been here for 5 years, I mean, it speaks to the depth of the team. You know, we have so many, we have like, I think, 18 fifth-year seniors or so. And that means that we have a lot of guys. We could have had seven guys who could have been captains this year. But Jack, you know, being a guy that's on the front of the offensive line in that front seven, I mean, that's a big deal to have that guy because he's the center. You know, he's, I mean, so he's been starting for 4 years. Then you have Shalique, you know, he's another guy who's on the front seven and he's been, you know, a leader for the past 2 years, now a captain. And then, you know, having Darian, he's on the back end with the defensive backs and the linebackers and also the front seven. And so, you know, I think that's a great opportunity for him as well. But the most important thing is they have been leaders in the weight room, off the field. They stayed out of trouble. They've been in the program for 5 years. And so to think that we have that many guys qualified, it speaks volumes to the leadership on our team this year.
Yeah, I'm certain that they would do an outstanding job this upcoming season. All right, what can we expect from the Western Michigan game? I mean, what type of team is Western Michigan, and how have you guys been prepping? I know there's only so much you can reveal here, Curtis, so tread lightly, right?
Right. Well, I mean, the last time we played Western Michigan, they played us here at home. It was a competitive game. And Coach P.J. Fleck has done a great job of getting his team ready. He went to a bowl game last year and, you know, one of the biggest turnarounds in college football. And I think that we're going to see a team that's going to try to pass the ball around a lot on us. They have an all-conference back who was an offensive player of the year and one of the top players, newcomers of the year. And then I think on defense, they have some good defensive backs that can, you know, that can play. And I think they're going to be able to compete. And for us, you know, it's always good when you can get the best in Michigan playing each other. You know, Western Michigan represents some of the best talent in state. And Michigan State has the most players from any college playing, you know, starting at a Division I Power 5 school as Michigan State has. So to get these us playing, I think that's a good matchup because we're both bowl teams. And we'll be able to play here in front of the fans to kick off the season. What a great way to launch it all.
Can't wait for it, folks. Man, tomorrow night, can you believe that? All right, Curtis, for those that don't, you know, are kind of confused about your title, I mean, Director of College Advancement and Performance, can you sort of explain your role with the team?
I mean, a lot of what I do is helping the football program recruit better. And in 2015, it's all about the players that you're recruiting. And unlike in the NFL, where you just evaluate talent, in the college industry, you have to be able to get that talent to campus and they have to be recruited. So it's a big, big emphasis on being proactive and trying to get guys to campus and to make them like the experience that they have once they arrive on campus. And then once they get to campus and they come in terms of signing that letter of intent, you have to have individuals that can relate to them and connect with them. A lot of what we call engagement. And so, you know, sort of mentoring the young men when they get here. So my title pretty much is helping young people advance to and through college, you know. So advance to through the recruiting process and through mentoring once they arrive. So, you know, and I love the opportunity to keep that relationship not only in the recruiting process, but once they get here. I think that makes it a unique position, and I think it just speaks volumes to the leadership of Mark Hollis and Mark D'Antonio to really create a unique position. They could have created a recruiting coordinator if they wanted one, but they wanted someone to mentor young men not only, you know, through the recruiting process, but once they get here on campus. And you know how important it is as a former student here on campus.
Yeah, certainly. Mm-hmm. And Curtis, you know, elaborating on your position, I mean, trying to bridge generations and trying to relate to the younger generation can be a challenge. I mean, right. Your job is not easy by any means. Mm. How do you relate to young men?
Well, the biggest thing is, you know, I'm fresh from the community. You know, it's what we call, you know, being in the city of Detroit, high school football coach. I ran camps 7-on-7, so I know what's going on. I was the individual taking young people to college visits, understanding what it's like to get your first offer, understanding what it's like to come from a single-parent home, so I can kind of relate to the way they see things out of their lens. But then I sit at the meeting tables with Mark D'Antonio and the entire staff, and I know the expectations they have. So for me, it's like I'm able to translate what the expectations are so that they can understand, like, hey, I know this is what you want to do, but this is what you have to do in order to be successful here on college. And a lot of it is, you know, it's an adjustment, you know, for young people, because you're coming out of a situation where you're free to do whatever. Now you're entering structure. And so my biggest thing is just trying to keep them encouraged and keep them positive, and then letting them know, build a relationship with me and the rest of the individuals here in this community, in the Spartan community. And then once they get that, I think they really do well. And that's how, you know, the leaders of the football team are fifth year. I mean, how many teams do you know have that many fifth year seniors? It's because of the relationships that are built. These young men want to stay around, and they stay around because they're doing successful from year to year, or else we have a lot of attrition.
Yeah, and Curtis, I want you to sort of rank this next question on a scale from 1 to 10. Mm-hmm. How difficult is it for you to make sure that all of these young men stay on the right track and don't do anything idiotic mm-hmm. away from the football field? Because it seems as though we're turning on ESPN mm-hmm. every other week and are hearing about an athlete who just messed up, you mm-hmm. know, away from their respective field of play.
Right.
How hard is it on a scale from 1 to 10 to make sure that young man stays on track?
I would say it's not as hard because of the evaluation process. So I would say I don't know, 8 or 9, I guess it's not me. Hard being 10?
Hard being 10, hard, yeah.
I say it's probably about a 5.
You know, okay, middle. Right in the middle.
And,
yeah, right.
And I say that because we look for indicators. You know, indicators in the recruiting process are red flags, things that you know that, hey, if you do these things wrong or you don't have these things in your personality or in your background, then you might not be successful here on campus. Mm-hmm. And so by, you know, staying away from those things and not recruiting those types of players, we don't find ourselves in situations where we have individuals who we have to really say, oh, they are 10, because we really worry about them, because we stray away from those type of guys in the recruiting process. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the biggest part of the success of Mark D'Antonio, is that he's done a great job of not only identifying talent, but building relationships with people throughout the recruiting process. So once you get here, you know, you don't have to worry as much because you know what you're getting.
All right. Well, I got to throw this one at you. What do you love about the recruiting process, mm-hmm. and what do you hate?
I think the biggest thing that I love about the recruiting process is I love seeing a young person's, you know, being a part of a young person's dream coming true. Dream come to Michigan State, dream to get a college scholarship offer, and being a part of that with the family. I mean, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I mean, the majority of these people, the young men, are never going to go play in the NFL. So this is the pinnacle of their sports success for mm-hmm. a lifetime of hard work for the entire family, the entire community. The hard part about it is that, you know, because of college football coaches, we have recruited these guys so early now that they have unreal expectations. They think that they're supposed to get over-recruited at an early age, and then they think when you treat them a certain way, you're not as interested. And that's kind of difficult because we're just taking our time and going through the process and being very diligent. But because of the way other coaches have recruited them, or the society hypes up, you know, what they're getting, that makes them feel like, man, Curtis Blackwell not even show me that much attention. Michigan State don't really like me. No, we like you. We're just taking our time going through the process. So I kind of dislike that part of the process More so than anything else.
So certain kids out there think that you should be pushing harder to recruit them.
I should be recruiting them because in the sixth grade. In the sixth grade, I should be recruiting.
Whoa.
A kid gets offered in the eighth. Well, you're not looking at my son? Yes.
He really?
Yes. And so I have to answer, being the face of the recruiting department, well, hey, we're taking our time waiting for you to get to ninth grade.
Wow. That's craziness.
Yes.
So
yes,
is that
yes.
the youngest recruit that you've ever thought about recruiting in sixth grade, or does it even go younger than that?
No, it's middle school. I like, you know, we went out for a team dinner, and one time I got Lorenzo Guest, who's one of our strength coaches, play here, Michigan State football and basketball. He said, Curtis, we have a sixth grader here in the building looking for a building tour.
Are you serious?
Yes, they're serious. Oh. And he expected me and the staff to set up a building tour so he could be recruited in the sixth grade.
Okay.
And he's about 5'4".
You have to be kidding.
No.
That, I don't know who that prima donna is, but slow your roll, brother, right?
You still have to be polite.
You do. You got to be polite, you know what I mean? But at the same time, it's like, really, man?
I want to go eat some Wheaties.
Please do, right? Grow a little bit, man.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy, isn't it? I feel like recruits are just getting younger and younger and younger. Kind of scary, right? Kind of scary. All right, folks, this is our second break. When we come back, we will give you a preview of tonight's Spartan matchup against the Western Michigan Broncos. Of course, we'll be taking your calls, and we'll also have Reflection Friday on tap. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back. I'm getting a few texts here and a few tweets wondering who will be my guest for next week's Current Sports TV show. And, yeah, I'm glad you asked, folks, because we will be inviting Anthony Iani to the show. Of course, Anthony is a former Michigan State men's college basketball player who has done one fantastic job of just spreading the word of anti-bullying, trying to get kids out there to stop bullying one another, to spread love. And also, of course, Anthony was diagnosed with autism when he was a little one, and has really persevered and done a great job at that over the years, and has now also been preaching an anti-bullying campaign, but an awareness for autism as well. So Anthony will be my guest next week, September 9th at 3 p.m. So if you want to be a part of that live studio audience, all you got to do is simply go to WKAR.org and sign up online for free. All right, tonight, Michigan State takes on Western Michigan in Kalamazoo. Isaac and myself, we will be out there providing post-game coverage of that game. So we're going to just briefly give you guys a preview on that game and give you guys our things to watch for tonight. So for me, really, first of all, I really am excited to watch Madre London, who is, of course, redshirt freshman for the Michigan State football team. I'm excited to see just how well he plays tonight. He's expected to get the first carry. He's expected to start. I also do think that sophomore Gerald Holmes and freshman LJ Scott, we may see them throughout the game as well. I think we will see them throughout the game. Maybe Delton Williams, who knows. But Madre London getting that numero uno nod as the guy in the backfield, going to be very intriguing, because we've heard great things out of camp concerning all of the running backs coming out, other than Williams, because Williams is still trying to get into game shape. But Gerald Holmes, LJ Scott, Madre London, expect them to really do their thing. And I'm really looking forward to seeing how Madre London handles being the number one guy. Also, Connor Cook, Heisman Trophy candidate. Of course, Connor, this is his final year as a Spartan, and he has quite the resume, as you just heard in my chat with Curtis Blackwell. I tell you what, Connor Cook, if he has a great season this year, he will be not only talked about as a Heisman Trophy candidate, but he will go down as the most decorated quarterback in Michigan State football history. How about that? Wow. Wow. Now, Connor Cook, of course, he has, if you want to be a Heisman Trophy candidate, it's all about numbers, it's all about stats, it's all about, you know, just being gaudy, you know, from end to end. And Michigan State taking on a Western Michigan team that I don't think Michigan State is going to take lightly in no regard. But I think Connor Cook has to put up some big numbers to stay in that, you know, that talk and that contention of being a Heisman Trophy candidate. Now, Connor Cook being the team guy that he is, and Michigan State being the blue-collar team program that they are, I mean, they're not going to, you know, force numbers on the Connor Cook, and Connor's not going to go out there to strictly get numbers. He's going to go out there to play as best as he can and to go out there and get the W at the end of the day. But Connor Cook will have a huge opportunity to really put up some big numbers, and we'll see if he can. So that's also something to look forward to. Also, Michigan State, if there is a chink in the armor for this team, and it is tough to say that even though one game hasn't been played for this squad just yet, but there's going to be a spotlight on that Michigan State defense. Of course, with Pat Narduzzi now being gone, taking the head coaching job at Pittsburgh, whether or not this defense will take a step back, especially that secondary. I really think that, you know, that front line for Michigan State, I mean, you know, led by, of course, Shalik Calhoun, Joel Heath, Malik McDowell, Lawrence Thomas. Then you look at the linebackers, Darian Harris, Riley Bulla, John Reschke will get the start at the Sam linebacker spot for Michigan State tonight. But, you know, I think, you know, right there, the line and the linebackers are going to be solid for this team. But the corners and safety position, that's going to be something to hone in. Of course, redshirt freshman Vyonte Copeland will be starting at cornerback for this team. How rattled will he be? That's going to be something to pay attention to. R.J. Williamson, Monte Nicholson, those are guys to really look at to see if they give up any big plays down the field. Up front, I think Michigan State is going to be just fine. But whether or not that secondary gives up big plays, that is also going to be something to look at. Also, I really like this early test for Michigan State, seeing as though, again, you know, I mentioned how I saw this in the Detroit Free Press today, how, you know, one writer for the Kalamazoo Gazette, David Drew, has referenced Abraham Lincoln's visit to Kalamazoo and compared that to what we are going to see tonight on the gridiron at Kalamazoo at Waldo Stadium. He has equated that moment to this moment tonight. Just putting, you know, in perspective just how big this is for the city of Kalamazoo. It's going to be a ruckus atmosphere. The fans are going to be crazy. It's a night game. Having a test like this on the road could mature this team a bit tonight. So that's also something to look forward to, just how Michigan State deals with the overall atmosphere. Those are my things to watch tonight. What are yours, Isaac?
Oh, I've got, you know, you really rounded the bases for that. So mine are pretty similar. I also am excited to see this Western Michigan attacking game. They had an offense that was pretty good last year and showed a lot of promise. So I can't wait to see Zach Terrell against a heck of a Michigan State defense. And like you said, if there's a chink in the armor for Michigan State, it's that secondary. There's a lot of unproven commodities there, and there's the safeties weren't the best last year. So I'm excited to see if Western Michigan would rather air it out or if they'd rather stick to the ground game. I'd expect Michigan State to maybe struggle at first just a little bit. Not Western to do anything great, but struggle at first. But then I'd expect them to pull away later in the game. So that's my thoughts on the game.
And I really love head coach P.J. Fleck, who has really turned around that program after, what, going like 1-11 in his first season with Western Michigan. So he's given all you know, praise to Mark D'Antonio, and he believes that Michigan State is the college football program that everyone is chasing in the state of Michigan. Let's go to our phone lines right now. We've got our good friend and caller, Ray, on line one. My man, Ray, how you doing?
Oh, man, was I so happy last night. My birthday present came true. The Wolverines got their butts beat, the bullies again, by Utah. And David Brandon, thank you so much for being such a liar and scheduling a home-and-home series with Utah. I hope you do that with Oregon State and BYU, but I don't think you had the courage to do it for next year. It's just so great to watch. This is 51 losses in 9 years, and there'll be about 55 to 60 before the end of this year. At least 6 losses. What happened to Messiah? I thought he was going to turn the program around.
If you haven't noticed, ladies and gents, Ray is not a big fan of the maize and blue. But you know what? I'm going to stick to my guns here. As I stated at the very beginning of the show, Ray, I really thought that overall it wasn't a very bad showing by the Michigan Wolverines. We pretty much expected Utah to go out there, handle business, and beat U of M. So we'll see as you know what happens as the season goes on. They of course play Oregon State in their next game next week, so that should be an intriguing matchup to watch for, Ray.
You too.
Yeah, what's that?
They have to play BYU,
yes,
too.
Yes, BYU as well. So they certainly have some early tests, but we'll see how this team progresses as time moves on. So overall, if you had to grade, and I asked Isaac the same question, if you had to grade U of M's overall performance last night, what grade would you give them?
C-.
Why?
Because they're three interceptions.
Yeah, from Jay Gruden.
I'll admit they did move the ball a little bit down the field, but they shot themselves in the foot like they always do.
You think Rudock is the guy? Or is it going to be Shane Morris?
I don't think you got a quarterback, either one of those guys, myself, friend. Do you think they could beat Ohio State or Michigan State?
Oh, no, not at all.
Okay, they got to play at Minnesota and at Penn State.
Yeah, I think Minnesota is a loss, and maybe they're competitive against Penn State. But we saw what Minnesota did last night.
BYU and Oregon State, are they very up this year or are they down?
BYU, I'm not sure. I'm not sure with both of those squads. Isaac's going to check, looking at the preseason predictions for both of those teams. But I am not sure. On that, Ray. But, overall, though, if I had to give him a grade, though, I'm sticking to my guns. I would give him a B-plus last night.
I'm looking at six losses. When are the bullies ever going to humble themselves?
Well, we'll see as the season rolls on, Ray.
They're still the bullies down there. They they won't talk to me. They're very mean-spirited people.
But
I still want them. I'll keep praying for them to lose.
Oh, gosh. All right, Ray. Thanks a lot. It's always great hearing from you. My man, Ray. Gotta love it. Ray, you take care. Have a good weekend, all right?
God bless you. Have a good Labor Day.
Yes, the holiday weekend is upon us. Thanks a lot, Ray. I tell you, Ray, you never know.
We don't stage that.
You know what you're going to get with Ray. You just never know to what degree. You know that he's going to call in and he's going to have a lot of harsh words for U of M and their overall program, but you never know to what extent. Sometimes he tempers it, and sometimes he just goes all in like he did today.
He's pulling out the stats and everything today?
You.
No, we do not plan that or anything. It's a great call every time. I look forward to it. So
it is fun stuff. It is fun stuff. All right. Well, 3 minutes left here in the show. A quick reflection Friday. Let's hit the music here, Isaac. Very quickly here, because this certainly was a day, or I should say a week, that was dominated with talk about Tom Brady. So for me, probably my most memorable moment was, of course, our conversation on this whole Deflategate situation and Judge Berman saying, Tom Brady can play. The 4-game suspension was too harsh. I think it's a win for the NFL. It's a win for the players, not a win for Roger Goodell. So that was clearly my favorite moment of the week. And also Serena Williams trying to go for this this Grand Slam. I've been keeping a close eye to the U.S. Open, looking forward to seeing what occurs this weekend for her. Her sister is actually playing as we speak right now. I have my ESPN streak for the cash on her. So, yeah.
Al, I want to go to the NFL and somebody who we talked about way too much a couple years ago and not enough recently, Tim Tebow. He played excellent last night, threw for a couple of touchdowns. His form's really improved, and I'm not sure about you. I think he should get that starting quarterback
spot. I think he will.
In Philadelphia.
I think I was reading reports this morning about him. It looks as though Tim Tebow may get that shot. I mean, and Chip Kelly loves.
That's the thing.
He loves Tim Tebow.
He fits in well in the system.
Yeah, he loves him. I mean, he's been a fan of Tim Tebow for a while now. So, yeah. All right. Well, you and I, we got to get ready to head to Kalamazoo. I'm certainly looking forward to that. Again, you can catch our post-game coverage of the Michigan State and Western Michigan game on WKAR.org late tonight. That game probably won't end till around midnight. So you don't want to miss that, folks. And hey, have a great holiday weekend. Happy Labor Day. And, hey, happy first weekend of college football. Thanks so much to all of you out there for tuning in to today's edition of Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Take care. Have a fantastic weekend and be easy, people.